Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor coming your way live from EAA here in Oshkosh. Having a phenomenal time. By the way, today is National Peanut Butter and Chocolate Day. Great company. Well, you know, like a peanut butter cup, like a Reese's.
Oh, okay.
You know, mixing them together.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's the greatest things ever invented, don't you think?
That was a good invention.
Do you ever buy a Hershey's bar and put peanut butter on top of it and just put it in the microwave for like 5 seconds?
I would...
It's delicious.
I bought the peanut butter cup because that's.
I know, but if you got, yeah, I know, but okay. It's try that
same
sometime.
Thing though, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really good.
There's got to be a peanut butter and jelly day too.
Not a big fan of peanut butter and jelly. I got to be honest with you. No, I'm not a fan.
All right.
Vanilla ice cream day. Wow,
love it. Love really? It. Absolutely.
Who would ever order vanilla ice
Everybody.
Cream? Nobody.
Get anybody in here from 30. No, Johnny. I
it's
will.
My this favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vanilla?
Just wait. No, it just
vanilla.
Wait.
No. Yes or no?
No.
She says no.
No. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So, you guys, just for the record, 33 flavors. Pick any one of them. How many franchises did they have? They must have hundreds and hundreds. Any of them? Number one selling ice cream.
Pistachio.
Number one selling vanilla. All those flavors, all this, you know, noise around the old good staple vanilla. It's vanilla.
Today is yada, yada, yada day.
We should celebrate that.
You know
that?
I know yada, yada, yada had a day.
Yeah, it does. It's based on the Seinfeld.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Birthdays, Daniel Radcliffe is 35. He's from Harry Potter, right?
Correct.
Monica Lewinsky is 51. Almost seems like.
Yep.
Why did
go ahead, do it. Go ahead.
I did not have relations with that woman.
Thanks.
Why did she get her?
I'm just reading it. Marlon Wayans, 52. Allison Krauss, who I like. Allison Krauss is 53.
She's so
isn't she awesome?
Yes.
Did you ever see her and Jamie Johnson at the Willie Nelson tribute, and they did Seven Spanish Angels together?
No.
You'll get choked up. It's so good.
Really?
She's so good. Whiskey Lullaby. You ever see the Whiskey Lullaby?
Yep.
Slash is 59. How did he live to get to be 59? And Woody Harrelson is 63. So there we go. And now we're joined by very special guest, Kristen Scheich from the Warbirds Division here at EAA. Congratulations on something. You're born and raised in Oshkosh.
Yes.
And you have a phenomenal job in Oshkosh.
Yes.
That people from all over the world would love to have.
Yeah.
How'd Absolutely. You swing that? That's awesome.
I started 22 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but you were really young.
I was just out of high school.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started in the warehouse and started with merchandise and then worked my way over to administrative assistant of Warbirds. And now I'm executive director.
You know, the Warbirds, that's a huge category and a very cool category, right?
It's
and when you walk around here and the grounds here are just impeccable and you see so many things from the future of aviation to something historical, but how many Warbirds are here?
As of right now, 270 are registered, and we're hoping to have at least 200 more.
Really? That is, like, awesome. And they fly. Obviously, they fly here.
Yeah, they fly every day.
How did you get interested in Warbirds?
Right.
So my grandpa was here from the beginning.
Okay.
And he brought my dad up in the whole aviation
world.
As well. Yep. And then I would go with them every year. I've only missed one air venture in my entire life.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Have you been to other air ventures?
Yeah.
And I'm curious as how this compares to other shows, other events in the U.S.
Well, I've been to Sun and Fun, and this is like three times bigger than Sun and Fun. I think Sun and Fun can pretty much fit in the whole Warbirds area. This is the biggest one I've ever been to.
Cool.
When you talk about Warbirds, tell people exactly what that means.
Warbirds are military aircraft that have flown in wars, that have, they go all the way back from World War II, all the way up to current ones. We do prototypes sometimes, you know, there's some once in a lifetime aircraft that are actually out by us right now in training command.
You know, the cool thing is, though, too, when you see some of the old ones like that, the World War II ones, you know, you see the movies and they look, you know, big and kind of indestructible and whatever. And you get up close to these things, it's like, these are small aircraft that help save the world.
Right. And he's right. And it's unbelievable because they're, you know, we're so used to flying in pretty large jets now. And some of those planes are, and they were in battle.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Do you have some speakers that come in and speak to that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We have warbirds in review. So those people have actually had combat experience, you know, World War II, Korea, and any other conflict.
We don't have too many World War II veterans around anymore, but I remember years ago when we were talking about Pappy Boyington, who'd been here, and some of the guys from Japan. I remember there were German Luftwaffe guys here one time. And I think one of the cool things that I've, because when I write my books, I've interviewed a few guys that fought on the other side, you know, fought for Germany and everything like that. And they're, you know, the movies and whatever, you know, makes all those guys out to be, you know, just these evil creatures. And you sit and talk with them. Right. And it's like talk to some guy from Two Rivers who happened to move over here and worked at the
doing his job
at the beer factory or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And isn't that has to, in your career here, has to be so enjoyable meeting
really
those
is.
People and seeing the human side of these people.
Yeah.
Well, this year, today, we're having a tribute to Bud Anderson, who is a World War II flying ace in Warbirds in Review this afternoon.
Awesome.
And it's going to be a flag folding ceremony if the rain holds out.
Right.
And it's going to be a really, really good tribute. So I recommend everybody come out and
see the courage of those people too, huh? Back in the day.
And on something that's not that protected. You know what I mean? The plane is not that protected. You know, you're kind of out exposed.
Exactly.
I flew in a B-17 one time, which was the biggest bomber, was the most used bomber in World War II at the time. And the same thing, it's like you see all these movies like 12 o'clock high and all these great old movies, and then you're in it, and the skin of that thing is this thick. I mean, you could shoot my 410 shot gauge shotgun that I used to hunt rabbits with would go through that thing.
Yeah.
That's all they had for protection.
It is. And some of them blew up their wings off or lost their tail, and they still landed.
Yes. Amazing.
You do the warbirds, and you say they may have up to 400 of them here, and you've been to other events. Do you have a favorite? Is there?
Corsair is my favorite.
Martin, what is that?
The Corsair.
That was used extensively in Korea.
Yes.
That was huge. They'd fly off of the ships, the USS, was it the Missouri? No, I can't remember, but they would, and when the Marines especially were in tough situations, and they'd call them in, and he said, it was almost like not to get real, but he says, it was almost like God answered your call, because these things came out of the sky out of nowhere,
yeah.
And you knew, now we had about a 1% chance to live, because we were so outnumbered, and now we have about a 99% chance to live, because these Corsairs are so amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool story. Hey, did you get the bite, or do you have, are you pilot's license? Are you into flying? Aviation?
I do love flying. I do not have my pilot's license, but I do have a few hours of flight time.
You do. And do you fly you fly in these small planes with friends?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been asked to fly with friends, and I just, you know, if they're not good drivers, I don't think they're good pilots.
So. Sometimes they're better pilots than drivers.
Well, your friend is.
Larry McCann. Yeah. What else is going on this week that you think people will be really interested in? I mean, today it's everybody's just kind of getting started and kicking the tires and those sorts of things.
Well, we have our youth simulator building. We have 6 different simulators. They're Corsairs and P-51s. They're for children between the ages of 8 and 17. You can fly a flight simulator like everybody else has. We have the Warbirds Tram Tour, which goes from 9 to 3 every day.
We took that last year.
That was fun.
That was fun. That's a great, and you can sit and they kind of on the, through the speaker system.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing to do early on when you first come here. In the language a little bit.
Yeah. That's a good tour.
Goes through every row of aircraft and tells you what they're about.
Yeah, we said last year the one thing they should do a little bit better is mark or so. Remember, we were looking for some booth, and we drove throughout the entire.
We had a cart, and we were trying to find something. We were lost. I'm sure it's very well laid out. We don't have a great sense of direction. No, we don't.
Oh, gotcha.
We just kind of wandered.
We probably just drove in a circle for a half hour,
but we passed the same place like 3 times.
We didn't find what we were looking for. Yeah. That tour is cool though. And they do, it's narrated, which I think is helpful to people like me that haven't studied it nearly as much as you have. I mean, we know the different wars, but what aviation, and they really do a good job. And then you can always just walk back after the tour.
We actually drop everybody off at our store so that after they've gone through the whole thing, they can try and see if they want to buy anything.
Yeah.
You guys make any estimates on how many attendees you think you'll have this year?
Oh, I think at least 600,000.
And Green Bay's worried about having the draft.
The draft with 600,000. You guys do this every year here. You don't even sweat it. So it's, but you know what you're doing here too. I mean, this is what, 50 years here? So probably 70.
70 years. 6 years for Warbird.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the EAA here. It's been here for, so I think this is 1970 or something. I'm just saying, you guys know what you're doing here when it comes to logistics and where things should be, or restroom facilities. It's all good, you know. And I think if someone has heard about this for years and they live in Manitowoc or Green Bay or, you know, our listening area, to drive down here and bring your kids, which are free, I still can't believe that, and $48 or $50 for an adult, and it's all day. It's air shows. There's a night air show. It's just, and your whole Warbird thing is just great. Well, history.
You know what, Jim? Like, they can walk up to right outside of a Cobra helicopter, and then they can study about the what that has done.
Absolutely. Rooms,
or the Corsair, even how many lives it saved in Korea, and the Phantoms. I mean, you know what I mean? You could pick one Warbird and study that, and that'd be so educational for somebody young.
Absolutely.
In fact, you don't even have to be young just to, you know, see it in person. And then you just have such a better concept of what it is.
I think people know, most people know wars, but why did we win has a lot to do with those planes that you're hosting.
And be standing right next to those is pretty amazing.
Right. So cool. Start up and ride up. It's just amazing.
Did you ever go up in a Corsair?
No. P-51, though.
You did?
Really?
Yes.
Wow, the P-51 Mustang.
Yes.
Those were amazing. Actually, wasn't it the P-51s? You saw Saving Private Ryan.
I did.
Wasn't it the P-51s that came back and knocked out that Nazi tank right at the very end?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, and it's here, so we can see that all here.
It's just soldiers, angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is cool. Like Johnny said, you look at the plane, but to talk to people who know a lot about it, it's like a free education. It's just awesome.
Yep. So. Kristen Shike, congratulations on what you've got going down here. The Warbirds division leader. Come see American military history at its finest. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to set our break back after this.
All my bags are packed, ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
Hey, welcome back. Mine with the mayor down here at EAA in the media headquarters in Oshkosh. Weather is holding out there. The sky is pretty blue-gray, but no rain since we got here.
No.
So that part's good.
I said it might. But even if she said,
between 1 and 5,
but if there's rain, it's not a thunderous rain.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the radar right now. Looks like most of it is past us now.
Oh,
maybe
good.
A couple showers. Might, okay. You know, come awesome. Through.
She thought that was pretty minor. You know, that whole, and you're really into this, you know, because of the book writing that you've done, these wars, but what a great section of the EAA. And she said there's 220 here. They're going to get another 200.
Yeah. There were 400.
Warplanes. I mean, that is just, that's a day right there. Now, I mean, there's so much else to do here, but you know, that's just got to be cool. You know, the grandpa, great grandpa was in there to go, and you can probably find good chance you'll find his.
Not only just the pilots, but for every pilot, there are probably 20 people in support behind them in all the different areas.
Right.
So, I mean, all those, that was a team thing when you had your, especially those ground crews in like England in World War II, where they had, that's their baby, that plane. And they, and you've seen it in the movies, they would wait out there for that plane to come back. And
those are the lifesavers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like even the Memphis Belle, one of the gentlemen was from Green Bay who flew in the Memphis Belle. But those, I mean, they, two things, ground crew guys would never have to buy a drink if they're in a bar with pilots. And pilots would never have to buy a drink if they were in bars with, you know, ground troops.
Right.
So they all really respected what the others did.
Well, yeah, that was, boy, that was the three-legged stool. I mean, they had needed each other. They couldn't have done without one of them.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I mean, they knew it, and they respected that. Yeah, and then the other thing today, those air shows, too, I get a kick out of those. I don't know.
Oh, I do, too.
I think they're crop dusters, but they you can hear them flying over us. Yeah. They're practicing, the biplanes.
Love them. That's why I said my favorite model that I used to make, the Sopwith Camel. That was a British biplane that was really, really cool. That's like Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Right, okay.
That'd be something like that.
It would be yours. Okay. No, I think that's really cool that these guys are doing that. And I'm excited about, you know, not about tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday or Saturday night. Those night air shows are awesome.
And the drone show they're doing.
They're doing that.
Can you imagine how cool that's going
to
be?
Yeah. Like I said, to come down here and $50 and you're here all day from what? 9 in the morning till 10 at night. I mean, that's pretty good value.
That's fantastic.
You can spend that on a movie for 2 hours. Yeah. And then the kids are free too. And I think that's cool. And the museum's open and it's just, the food's good. The coffee's good.
It's really good.
Yeah. I know you said that. Why?
Really?
You know why you think it's really good?
Why?
Because we've been waiting for it for 2 hours. That's why. Okay. You know how that is? It's like, oh my God, is this a good burger?
I think it's great coffee.
Great coffee too.
Yep.
I think it's really good.
It tastes like what you would get at a diner or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
I love it. This is great coffee.
So I took my kids and we went beyond the ropes and I put the kids in the basket.
Isn't that amazing that he did that?
You know what?
It's amazing to me that Jim, we're telling the story earlier. Jim, was it here?
Yeah, at the museum.
There's
sea frost.
Okay. And a hot air balloon that flew around the world. Okay.
It's the first, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And came here for like a week or two.
Right. So you took your kids down to see it.
A display.
Yeah.
And there was no.
But it was the actual thing. I mean, this was his. It was the real one.
This was the real one. I was only here for a short period of time.
The balloon inflated inside?
No.
No. Okay.
It was the basket with the pictures behind it. And I think it was here for a display for a short period of time. I may have got here before it opened. Because there was a little bit of ropes around it, right? Yeah, but there was nobody here. When I walked into the museum, the lady was really cool. Oh, you're like, oh, and I think I might. Okay, I just want to say I probably got here 20 minutes before it opened.
Yeah.
So I walked in there, there was nobody there.
What did you think the ropes signified? Just curious.
Well, I think this is a very special display. Uh-huh. So come look at this. This is something that's very unique. And I kind of knew it was there anyway. Okay. So I went over and took a look at it and definitely.
And you saw the ropes.
But I saw the basket.
Daddy, what are the ropes for? Did you say?
They didn't.
That's for other people. That's for kids whose daddies aren't the mayor of the Super Bowl champions.
It was maybe a 15-second thing. And I looked around. There was nobody there. I'm like, okay, you guys, just do it.
Scoot under the ropes.
No, I didn't say it. I lifted them over the ropes and put them in the basket.
All right.
All three
baskets.
They're not very big. I mean, we're sitting in the booth here. Probably here to the wall. Yeah, I would say they're 5x5, 6x6 maybe.
I would never go up in a hot air balloon.
And that was.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people do it for these romantic bottle of wine and floating along. And
there's been some unbelievable disasters.
I know.
And I can
see me falling out of one for some reason.
Yep. Me too.
I don't know why. I could just see me doing something. Well, and
that's not too far fetched.
All right. Yeah. So I'm just saying. But when you would come here before, did you have a favorite thing that you'd come to? Or was it for the air shows?
Well, I like the air shows a lot. And I like the feature, right? I like the Blue Angels. The Harrier was here.
I got to throw this out there. Because even at the Packer games,
they fly upside down.
No, but you want to talk about ladies just like swooning over somebody. It's like almost like me in my younger days where they just swoon.
Yeah.
And those guys, after they do the national anthem run and they're walking through the corridor in their flight suits, women just almost throw themselves at them.
They do. They do the flyover and they get back and
it's just like,
You guys want to change?
No. I'm pretty sure the entire broadcast last year was John talking about how he was going to get a flight suit.
Yes, the entire broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now people would know. Yeah, they do. You don't carry yourself like a pilot.
I carry myself like a fighter pilot.
They'd start giving you candy like it's trick or treat. Here you go, young man.
What do I lack to carry myself like a fighter pilot? What do I lack?
The I don't know, the demeanor. What's the word I'm looking for? The confidence,
the swagger.
The swagger.
Swag? I can swag with the best of them.
Get your head on a swag.
Oh, you want swagging? I can swag like you can't believe. Tell me that. Man, you got a great swag. I've had a lot of people tell me that.
Yeah. No, I.
You know what I'd like to do? I think get hold of Chris again from the museum. See if he's got a flight suit. And Thursday, he would let me wear it.
I don't know if
I walk around. That'd be like, people come up to and I'd have a southern accent. It's like, sir, how you doing? I just want to thank you for fun. Oh, yeah, that's quite all right. How you doing, young man? You hoping to wear a flat suit to be a fighter pilot someday? I sure do, sir. Can I have your item? You betcha. They call me Ace Goose.
I don't think the true pilots would like that.
I don't think they would know.
I would stay salute that.
So that would happen. Like and then,
Ace over there?
Ace Goose.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you
thought you said Ace Deuce.
Yeah. Goose is John's his left hand. So yeah, I don't know, Johnny. I'm not sure.
You borrow a flight suit.
I don't think I should do. I don't think that's a good idea. No, I
don't. We just sit here do the show.
I would think it'd be very cool to get one of those guys on our show.
Yeah.
Because those guys are cool.
Can I do a whole show Thursday in that southern accent? Hey, how y'all doing here? Todd, how we doing there? What's the MO? All right, come on. Uh-huh.
What are you driving a semi? No.
That's
what I'm saying. No, that is.
That is too.
I'm so far off. But okay.
All right. Fine. Yeah, well, Brittany, come here one quick second.
Jeez.
How much time I got, Todd?
Like 30 seconds. Thank God.
Brittany, why do women swoon over guys in flight suits?
Why? The same reason.
I don't know, because it's sexy. It's a man in a military or uniform or something.
I'm wearing a flight suit.
Did you?
I got swag.
He would not look sexy.
Brittany, yes or no? Word, yes or no?
Yeah.
Thank you, Brittany.
Tell me that you wait for me.
Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Join the conversation now by calling 920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. Now, once again, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Todd and Amanda for being out here. What time did you get here, Todd? Oh, he gave his mic away.
Last night.
5 o'clock this morning, you were here. Amanda, what time did you leave Manitowoc? 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these people, we're talking the crew people behind the pilots and everything like that. That's what we've got with these people. We got the best in the business. So really great having you guys.
Yes, it's great.
Taking care of all this for us. And
so spacious.
We're here with some more special guests. Jim, introduce our special guest.
This is awesome what you guys do. You actually train the youth to be pilots.
Yes.
So give me your names and we'll talk a little bit about where you're from.
My name is Tiffany Ward. I'm from Northern California. I joined Sling in August of last year. I just recently got my CFI certificate, so I'm working on my double I right now. And then hopefully
you get to we have no idea.
We know sports, but slow down.
Gotcha. So CFI is flight instructor certificate. So at this point, I can train people to be private pilots or commercial pilots to make
money.
I'm 22 years old.
You're a pilot.
I am, yeah. Unfortunately, I did not. I was not that cool.
It's possible.
It is, yeah.
I'm going to ask you what you first.
I'm Matthew Todden. I am the media and enrollment manager for Sling Pilot Academy. So I help with the media that we do here. And
Sling is a school.
Yes. So we're a pilot academy where we train people.
And you test to get in? What do I have to do?
Can you just apply and you're in? Or
what do I do before I come to see you?
You have to be good in math?
I mean, you got to be decent, but above algebra, you don't really need too much more than that.
I did go above algebra. Remember, I said I had general math 2. Advanced general math.
That's not even close to
it. Did touch on do tax and stuff? I mean, it did. Whatever.
This guy already disqualified you, but since you're is there an age limit?
There's not an age limit. I mean, if you want to get into a career in the airlines, you have to retire at the age of 65. But it only takes you about 2 years to get from start to getting into an airline.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Is this a young person's world these days?
We get a decent amount of people of all ages. I mean, we get a lot of people right out of high school and college who are like, you know, I really do want to be a pilot and I figure it out now. And then we get some people that they've gotten half a life into a career before they realize that.
Wow. So I want to be a pilot. Not me. I'm just talking about a kid that's 25.
Because you'd be retiring right now. You'd actually have you'd be in for like 3 days to say, hey, thanks. And
for the certificate.
Here you go. Here's your watch.
What? Tell me the process. So Sling, we go online. We find Sling Academy. We call you because you're the director. What's the process? 1 year, 2 year?
So pretty much what you do if you come in with zero time is you're going to get 7 ratings, like Tiffany's done, in 9 months. So we split that out over the amount of time that you need for each rating, and you get through them comfortably with our help. So we set out a whole schedule for you. We have a curriculum, and you're not really worrying about what do I do next. We're getting you ready for what you're doing.
Is it like 5 hours a day or anything? I mean, is it like intermittent, or how does that work?
So about 2 hours a day are ground school, like on the ground. And then another roughly 2 hours are either in the plane or the simulator. And then we recommend an hour or two of self-study just to kind of keep things moving along.
What do people find is the biggest challenge?
Honestly, the ground stuff, I think, is a big challenge. Flying is obviously very fun. You have fun with your instructor. You have fun flying in California over the ocean. But studying on the ground and keeping yourself motivated, I think, is the hardest. But that's why Sling helps out so much. We're surrounded by people doing the same thing. Everyone's willing to study with you. Everyone's willing to answer questions.
My guess is a graduate from Sling, your job placement is probably pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, we actually have a partnership with SkyWest to get jobs after the program.
Right.
Do you get many people that have been in the Air Force or Army Air Corps or anything like that that want to turn civilian and need to like start over again?
Yes, we definitely do get people like that who they either are able to utilize some government funding, or maybe they've gotten their private or part of that through their military background and now they want to finish up.
I got a feeling it's not real cheap, right? Something like this.
I mean, it's
comparable to college tuition?
Definitely. Okay. And we are less expensive than any of the other programs that are comparable.
Okay. Now, if somebody wanted to, at a young age, what's the youngest you would let somebody come through to at least kind of use the simulators and do things like that, even if they couldn't get their license? Because there are, like we were talking about, we're just shocked sometimes at how young these kids want to get involved with flying when they get that bug. So do you guys have limits like that?
I mean, we don't have official limits. Usually, as long as they're just wanting to train, they're not trying to solo, which they can't do until they're 16.
Okay.
As long as they're not trying to hit that checkpoint, we let them start as young as they want. We have, you know, we also sell Sling aircraft, and we have some owners that have kids that are like, oh man, I get to go on the plane all the time. Can I go fly? And we get to throw them up in the simulator, sometimes get them up in the plane. And it's pretty cool to see their reactions.
What is the hardest part about learning how to fly?
It's just a whole new world. You're learning a new language. You're learning a new control. You now have another axis that you're moving on. You've got traffic to look out for. So it's just completely new from anything that you've ever done before.
Like I told Jim before, because one of the guys who was trying to recruit me to be an air traffic controller.
He wasn't at all.
And I told him, I said, I'm not really good attention to detail, and my mind kind of wanders. I don't really pay attention to things. Would that be a negative as being a pilot?
You do have to be able to focus. Right. I mean, there's a lot going on, so you have
ADD to. ADD right here, right in front of you. Hey, we are talking this with Matthew.
And Tiffany?
And Tiffany with Sling Pilot Academy. And this is an academy where, you know, this growth of aviation is just the beautiful thing about your industry is it's evolving. I mean, in a big way. It's not stagnant. There's always something new. Personal aircrafts, there's private jets, there's just a lot of things you can do, obviously commercial as well. And you can go to Sling Academy and get your license in less than a college education and
get a pretty good job.
Well, I mean, you guys pay pretty well. I'm not the airline industry is not known for people scraping by. I mean, it's a great career.
Yeah, it is now. I mean, if you talk to somebody who got into it 20 years ago, they might have a different story for you.
Why?
Just because the initial pay was really low.
Oh,
so okay. It was, you know, around $20 or $30 an hour, and you're working in the regional airlines for, you know, 5 to 10 years before you move on.
They didn't pay those guys anything. But now,
now you're getting $100,000 a year in your first year at a regional airline, and you're only moving up from there.
Yeah.
So this earlier too. The best movie that inspired you with your love of flying? What would it be?
Yeah, what's 20 years old.
Oh, yeah. You ever think of like YouTube, Jim? It's a brand new thing.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Did any movie have an influence on your aviation career?
I'm trying to think.
The answer is no, Johnny. These guys go to with the love of the industry.
This, Jim,
they're smart. Look at these guys. They're smart.
Talk. How about you let them talk?
Top Gun is cool.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, for me, I watched Top Gun and I thought it was really cool, but that wasn't necessarily what pulled me into aviation. It was more just a love of physics and engineering that I would rather be involved in the actual use of it than trying to fix it for someone else.
Physics involved?
I was going to take a physics class at Arizona State, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was majoring in media, you know, but you had to get one just to, like, and I didn't last through going through the syllabus. I left halfway through, like, through the syllabus. I got up and walked out. So yeah, physics isn't my friend.
This attraction to aviation, I don't know if your mom and dad took you to a show when you were young or your grandpa was a pilot, but you like the mechanics of flight.
Yes. I was going to get into engineering, but kind of like you said, my grandpa was a pilot. So I was kind of pulled toward aviation a little bit, but like a lot of people out there, I didn't think, oh, this is for me. This is my calling. I thought, oh, people who are pilots, they know they want to be pilots forever. They train forever. It's just a whole life thing. But what people don't realize is you can decide to do it any day. You can just go get started and it only takes you a couple of years to be in the airlines.
Fascinated by it, and I don't understand this part, but okay, so somebody comes to your school, mm-hmm. and you train them on what, Cessnas maybe or something, or
we have our own planes called Slings, actually. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, what size would that be then?
They're a two-seater light sport, okay. Low wing plane, and they're actually out here. There's one of them out here at Sling Island. It's a big outdoor booth.
Oh, fantastic. We'll check that out. I'm asking is, so they go from that, they say they want to be a DC 10 or whatever pilot. Is that a whole nother realm of training, or are the fundamentals enough to carry you? How does that work?
The fundamentals are similar, but you do have to learn new things like high speed aerodynamics. They don't really want to put brand new people in those giant planes.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
So what they'll do is they'll have you train in a simulator for weeks or more.
Yeah.
And you're going to get prepared. You're going to get ready, go through a bunch of rigorous tests, like you're going through flight training, but in a simulator only instead.
Okay.
And then you'll become what's called a first officer and fly with a captain until you're proficient enough to kind of move up.
At what level do you want to get to, Tiffany?
As high as I can get.
Like airline, like DC-10s or whatever?
They'll go wherever the wind takes me.
Wow, that's cool. He's aging himself. They don't make DC-10s anymore.
DC-10s anymore?
No.
I'm not sure.
They don't.
Todd, they still make DC-10s?
No, they tell you don't.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Well, 14s and
L-10, 11. So you don't know where you want to end up. You may end up being commercial pilot. My neighbor is a commercial pilot, and that co-pilot's the best gig. I just talked to him. I was in France, you know, yesterday, and they just have to get the hours. They're co-pilots. Now, he had to take over, but that's a good gig. He hasn't had anything really bad happen. Some turbulent weather, but nothing.
You're kind of like multiple
delays, huh?
You're kind of like my co-pilot.
But he's just loved that industry, and great family, and you've seen the whole world. And,
yeah.
There's a lot of respect. We were talking about that earlier when you walk through with your shirt with your pilot stripes on. I mean, that's.
Why do women go crazy over guys in flight suits?
It's a little bit of a cheat meeting, right? That's what we're asking.
I have a little bit. Okay. I'm not sure why.
I'm gonna wear a flight suit here Thursday.
All right, we'll see. I'll let you know.
Exactly. One last thing I want to talk to you about. How do you get people to know about you? Obviously, something like this, but otherwise, how do you go out and say, hey, you ever had an interest in flying and wasn't sure how to go about it? We're here for you. How do you spread the message?
We come to shows like this.
Yeah.
We put out a lot of our own media. So a lot of our own YouTube, Instagram, Facebook,
okay.
et cetera. And then on top of that, we go to schools. So career fairs. Anytime we can get to a local high school, Even sometimes middle schools will go because we want to let kids know this is something you can do and you don't have to wait to get started.
I will give your owner credit because they teach you in like business school to send out people who you want to hire. You know, so there's not some old guy with white hair telling me about the pilot industry. I mean, you guys are 22.
What's that supposed to mean?
If you say that they
wow,
they are attracting younger talent, right? I mean, that's what you're going after. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I think this is cool. I mean, if you guys are the face of the future of a flight,
right.
they picked some pretty good people. I mean, they really truly did. And you're exactly right about that.
Yeah.
It's like great. You could be cool and still be a pilot.
And thanks for coming up here and talking to people and talking to the youth. Because I think everyone finds aviation kind of a sexy industry, but can I do it? Is there any way I can do it? And you're saying, look, if you really put your nose to the grindstone, in 9 months, you could get your license. And in 2 years, you could be working in the airline industry for $100,000 a year. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
Definitely.
Plan. So, yeah, I think this is great. We're going to come over and see it. Sling.
Yes.
It's called Sling Island.
Yeah, we have Sling Island with all the aircraft. And then we have Sling Pilot Academy booth in the education center.
All right. We're going to swing by there, you know, and you guys are here till Sunday.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
Okay. Aside from that, just as fans of this world of flight, what do you guys like to look at here?
I like to watch Rob Holland and any of the jets. Those are my highlights.
Okay.
I watched the B-52 land. That was so cool.
Aren't they amazing?
Yeah.
I tell this story all the time. I grew up next to a B-52 base. And if you'd be playing ball or something like that, the game stops and everybody just looks up with their mouth open. Yeah. How is that thing staying in the sky? It's so big and the wings seem like they're going to fall off because of the 8 engines. And that's just magnificence. And if you saw that, that's the highlight of the week.
I can't stop talking about it.
Where your home is, you've been to the Spruce Goose?
I haven't.
Oh, man, it's right down the block from you, dude.
Oh, wow. Way to put him down, Jim. Oh, this is ending gracefully. Mike, right?
Matthew.
No, that's great. Right, huh? He's just picking right up on the show.
Tiffany, thank you both for being here. Like I said, no lie, great representatives for Sling Pilot Academy.
Thank you. Enjoy
your time in Oshkosh.
You too.
All right. Mine on the Mayor. We're going to send a quick break back from EAA right after this. And the mayor, once again, wrapping it up down here at EAA in Oshkosh, met some fantastic, interesting people once again, didn't we?
That's just today, right? We met like 8 very, very interesting people. And, you know, the common thread is they love it here.
Yeah.
You know, they're excited to be here. There's things they're looking forward to. And even
like you're going to a convention, like
right,
a
but
political
he's been here
convention.
30 years he's been coming. He's still as excited as these people who just came in. This is their second year.
So, like, we go to mayor's convention. What's that like? Who'd you hang out with?
Other mayors.
And from where? What cities?
A lot of we would get together NFL.
Okay, would there be I was going to ask you that though, because there's like a million cities in the country here, not a million, but lots and lots of that are bigger than Green Bay. Lots of them. But yet you could walk into, you know, with the mayor of New York or Philly or Chicago, they're being, hey, Jim, the mayor of Green Bay, title down. You had some swagger.
Bloomberg just thought. I got along the Daily. Diaz.
Did you wear those little sweater vests with your name, Mayor of Green Bay?
Were there young people though, Jim? Like we just had these two young people. Were there young people at these
mayors?
Yeah,
some chief of staffs. Okay. Oh, young mayors.
Yeah, wasn't Manitowoc's mayor like 18 when he was elected?
He was young. Justin was young. He wouldn't be in the conference because I think it's 50,000 and
okay
over
or above
for cities. I think it was that. Yeah, there were some young ones out in California, but no, it's a little bit older. I mean, we need more youth in everything, but it was just a great conference. We had some great speakers. I mean, the presidents always came, you know, to come and talk.
But I mean, these guys are so into flight. Every single person down here, 600,000 of them. Were you guys all huge political geeks? And I say geek in a good way, that you're just so into it.
This is what I would say about the difference in the industries. I think people here really, really want to be here.
Yeah.
And I can't see that for every mayor's conference that they really, really wanted to be there. I think is, you know, sometimes you look through, these people aren't looking around, shaking hands, seeing who's more important than you. They're just here to talk to anybody face to face. And what do you do and how do you do it? And so, no, it's, this is a cool convention. It's just a camaraderie here, the support for the industry and for each other is awesome.
I gotta be honest with you. I think that simulator thing would be interesting, don't you, Todd?
I'd like to try that.
I would love to try that.
You got to go over to the education center because that's where I met the folks from Sling.
Okay.
And there's some simulators over there. You can check.
You just jump on them.
Sign up.
You guys sign up. Sign up for Thursday. No, we can't.
I don't think there's lines or anything like that. But
I gotta leave early Thursday because I have an interview I have to do afterwards.
I hope you
not leave early. But
I hope you get the job.
Wow.
What? No, wow. I would say after this, I mean, just because you, I meant as a side hustle, I want you to commit to
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. To dig himself out. Yeah. Wow. Wouldn't that be fun?
I know you're interviewing somebody for your book.
I think that'd be fun.
It's so cool to see all those kids over there, too, who are interested in it and all the different schools over there and programs.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But that simulator, that's 2 feet, right? I mean, that's not easy to fly that thing.
I don't know. I've never done one. I don't know. To do a simulator for here? I don't know. It does take a lot of time, Todd. Can you just sit down and try it?
Okay, we'll go over there after this. There's so much. Hey, we got to take that tour and look at those warbirds, too. I don't know if you want to do
that. Hey, talk about I remember being, you ever have simulators for driver's ed?
Yeah.
And the driver ed guy, he goes, well, you just hit that dog. I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, doc. It's like, would you pay attention?
This is probably a little more... A little more serious, right? In a plane,
it's one of those things, though. Too, I mean, say what you want. I mean, I hate to use this term, the ignorance of youth. But what I'm saying is, they have so much confidence these days that they don't have those things of, you know, not knowing we're going into. It's like, yeah, we're gonna fly. I'm 19. Yep, I'm gonna fly, and then I'm gonna be a fighter pilot. It's just amazing the self confidence kids have these days.
That. Or maybe ignorance is bliss, too.
Bliss. But yeah, because they don't know what they're getting into. But they have zero, you know, like in our day, it would be like, you know, your mom and dad would check it out thoroughly. Right, it's like, I don't know about this and this. And they talk to uncles. And these kids just, they just go.
That's similar. I hope that's open. We'll look at that. I want to walk around the grounds a little bit. We got some time today. I don't have to be back in Green Bay until 2. So, but I just, again, I want to encourage people, families. You know, older brother, take your little brother down here and, you know, check it out. There's so many things to see. And these planes are unbelievable, from homemade planes to some of these private jets to the many, many, like you said, 200-300 planes that have been in wars. Yeah. And that's very cool. And, you know, the other thing is that I think if people are, you know, juniors, seniors thinking of a career in aviation, there's everything here from air traffic controllers to pilots to mechanics. And, you know, this is a good industry, and it's going to be here for
a long
time.
It's not going anyplace.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going anyplace.
And, you know, it's not like, it's going to be replaced by something. It's going to be replaced by its own industry. You know, I mean, this is a self.
So one of the things we didn't talk too much about, we mentioned it, but last year, one of the big topics was the possibility of air taxis. Remember that?
Personal.
Is that still a thing? I mean, because wasn't there something about whether or not they're going to be regulated by like air traffic controllers and things like that?
They can figure that out. They're just going to fly at a lower altitude. But I think what the thing was, the battery.
Was that what it was? They weren't strong enough yet?
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I remember the guy. Look, once.
And yeah, you're right.
And the guy's like, you don't really make batteries. We need somebody to step up on.
You're right.
It can't be too much weight, right? So you don't have it all battery. But I don't know. We're going to go over to that booth. I want to see how he's doing. I'd like to buy one of those. Johnny, we could have flown down here today instead of driving.
The listener has told me to keep track of the things that make you guys different from one another.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could go write a check.
Yeah.
And
we
can't.
No.
Right? Adding that to the list.
Yeah. Yeah. Add it to the list of things we can't do that he can.
You got to admit, John, if there was a plane, a personal aircraft that the wings folded up, you could put in your garage.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, they've got those here. We saw those last year.
But the batteries weren't any good.
Okay.
So if they have new batteries, wouldn't you try to buy one? Like, look at it?
No.
Just to go to your mom's? I could go to my mom's house in Appleton and Two Rivers and
Would you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
and just scoot along and do whatever.
It's like a Harrier, though. It just goes up.
Yeah,
and then look at Jetsons.
Yeah.
I would do that for two reasons. One is to save time, but second, like, I'd like to be the first guy.
I know, you'd be that guy. You'd totally be that guy. But what about, like, power lines and things like that?
Well, I would look out for them.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't see them. I mean,
I was just going to say, how's your eyesight, Jim?
I'm sure they get that. They do have to test you on. I would, if you go straight up, I don't know. I guess if you, that's a good question.
Oh, well, maybe you should look into that before you.
I'll look.
What do you think, Todd? Maybe? Yeah. All right. We're getting the wrap. We're getting the hard wrap. All right. We have been down here at EAA all day. We've had a great morning. Just loved it.
Come
great
down people. Here.
And once again, Brittany is here. Brittany Merlot said the weather might be a little spotty between 1 and 5. Other than that, it looks great. Air shows. We'll be back again Thursday to talk with some more people. Todd, once again, thank you so much. And Amanda, thank you both so very much for being here and everything you do for us. So we got to go. We're back in the studio tomorrow. See you.